For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Why did Jesus come into this world? Do you know the answer to that? Do you know the answer because he came for you? Is Christmas all about weary shoppers and hungover partygoers and excited children and weary sales clerks? Why did Jesus Christ come into this world? Only those who belong to him by a true and living faith, God's precious gift, know the answer to that question. Only those who he saves from sin, their sin, know why he came. Jesus came to save me, they say. That's true and living faith. Jesus appeared long ago on that night in Bethlehem, born of a virgin, and laid in a manger because he was sent of the Father, the living true God, to save me, the chief of sinners. That's the confession of true faith. Is that what you see as you think of the birth of Jesus Christ? Do you see the exceeding abundant grace of God? Is that your comfort? Then, child of God, you have hope. You have perfect hope. You have invincible and conquering hope. Then your life will be changed, and you will live as a child of the King in the midst of this world. And you will say, I cannot put a price upon this gift, this infinite gift, this all-sufficient gift. God loved me and gave his Son for me. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's my comfort. That's a sufficient comfort for all of life. Knowing yourself then as a sinner, that Christ is saved, there will be two spiritual realities to be seen in your life. Those spiritual realities were seen also in the shepherds who had come in that night to behold the Christ child in the manger. In verse 15 of Luke chapter 2, we read that they were commanded to go to Bethlehem and see this thing, or this word, which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. The two spiritual realities that were in the shepherds and will be in you and in every child of God, as we consider the birth of Christ, will be, number one, an overwhelming wonder. An overwhelming wonder of the grace of God, the exceeding abundant and wondrous grace of God to give his Son for me, a sinner. And number two, the reality in your heart today will be praise. You'll say with the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17, Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. When you know why Jesus came, your heart will ring with overwhelming wonder and everlasting praise. Jesus came to save. The birth of Jesus Christ was completely unique. He came into the world, we read. Christ Jesus came into the world, 1 Timothy 1:15. Now, children, that tells us that Jesus' birth was unique. There was no birth like his. And I'm not referring now to the poverty and to the lowliness, which could hardly have been worse, where he was born in that smelly manger and amid the straw and the smells and laid in a feed box and the torn clothes that were his bunting. I'm not referring to that. But the uniqueness that I refer to is found in those words, He came into the world. He came into the world. That means that he existed before he was born. And that is utterly unique. Jesus was and is the eternally existing God. Read Proverbs chapter 8. Read Colossians chapter 1. He is the one who, as God and with God, created all things in the beginning. He is the eternally existing God who had no beginning and shall have no end. He is the glorious, magnificent God who lives forever. And in the words of Deuteronomy 32, lifts up his hand to heaven and says, I live. That one who existed eternally as God the Son now appeared to fulfill God's promise and was born of a virgin in a lowly manger. He came. He existed before, consciously with the Father and the Holy Spirit, the triune God, and he was sent into the world. The hymn puts it this way, mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, mild in that he was willing. But not just mild, there was a great stir when Jesus was born among the angels in heaven. For they saw him, heaven's darling, God's eternal Son, he who is brighter than 10,000 suns. Now humble himself, and is wrapped in rags that he might redeem dust sinners. He who made the world now humbles himself that he might save his children in their sins. While he remained God, God of God, Jesus Christ came into the world and is now in diapers, needing to be nursed and taught. The Holy Son of God is born. He came into the world because he had to walk a path called the Calvary Road. He came to travel that road. That road began with a sign, as all roads have a sign. The road that Jesus came to travel on earth also had a sign at its very beginning. It read, no vacancy. There was no room for him, we are told. In Luke chapter 2, the verses 1 through 7, the record of Jesus' birth, we are told that God had arranged everything just so. Two people, Joseph and Mary, have traveled from the north of Nazareth down to the south of Judea, Bethlehem, because Caesar Augustus, a mighty monarch and king, has decreed that everyone must go to their natural city to be registered for a tax. God has moved the heart of the king to bring Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem at just the right moment. And when they come, there is no room for him. Mary is in labor, and so Joseph is able only to find the shelter of a stall, of a barn, of a lowly cattle shed, where Mary brings forth her firstborn son. Jesus now has come in the lowliness of his humiliation. He is covered with our sins in death. He is under the shadow of death for our sakes. He has become poor. God ruled by where he was born, ruled over where he was born, to teach us the gospel that his Son had come to take upon himself that which was not his, our sins, in order that we might have what was not ours, everlasting righteousness. For he came to save. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. His message was to deliver us from the greatest of evils and lift us unto the highest of all good. He is our Savior. And the angels sounded out in glory when the angels spake, to the shepherds, unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ has not simply come to be among men. He has not simply come as the Son of God to take away the problems of human society. He certainly has not come to give everybody what they want of the earth. But he came to be a Savior, to bring you out of a dunghill of sin and darkness and bitterness against God, and to bring you into God's own bosom of blessing. He came for no other reason. Throughout his life he focused on one thing, and one thing only, our sin. He could have been the Savior that men wanted. He could have been the Redeemer that men cherished and that men still want Him to be. He could have been that one to provide food for the masses. He fed 5,000 at one time with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He could heal from every conceivable disease. He was a magnificent arbitrator, a problem solver. He would have been a wonderful champion of social causes, but all of these throughout His ministry He rejected. That's not why He came. He did not come for those reasons. He came for the root problem, your root problem. You see, all of those other problems can be solved. Food, diseases, problems, peace, social injustices, all can be wiped away, but unless your sin is removed, you have nothing. He came to save us from our sins. And He could do that because He is Christ, Jesus the Lord. He is Christ, the one assigned of God to do God's work. He is Jesus, Jehovah's salvation. He is the Lord. He is the Lord of all. On that night, God sent His Son into our flesh, born of a virgin. God transferred all our sin, the sin of all of God's chosen, upon that little baby. He laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. But you must not make it distant. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Who did He come to save? The faithful saying is made by every child of God. He came to save me. You say He came to save those given to Him of His Father's gracious election? Yes, that's true. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9 tells us that we have been called by God's grace and according to God's own purpose and grace which was given us before the world began. Jesus comes to save His people from their sins. That's the word that the angel tells Joseph, the very meaning of his word Jesus. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. But you see, faith is personal, and every child of God in whom dwells the Holy Spirit by wondrous grace will respond, Jesus came to save me, a lost sinner. No better, no worse than all others, the sinner of whom I am the chief. I am the chief sinner. That word, or that verse in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The faithful saying does not stop with the word sinners, but the faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. It's part of the faithful saying. Those for whom Jesus came to save are those who by grace confess, I am the chief sinner. Did Jesus come to save all sinners? No, He came to save sinners who by His wondrous grace would know their sins and would know themselves as the chief sinner. He came to save sinners of all sorts, some obvious sinners. Little children would look at them and say, Dad, that's a sinner. But most sinners appear in nice garb with many good works as jewels. He came to save sinners who see themselves by God's grace as the chief sinner. A saved sinner is not self-righteous. A saved sinner is soul-burdened. I can put it this way. A saved sinner knows how to spell the word sin. S, capital I, N. A saved sinner does not spell the word sin, S-U-N. You're a sinner. A saved sinner doesn't spell the word sin that way. When the word sin is mentioned, he doesn't say, you. But he says, S-I, capital I, N. If there's one place where the letter I should be capital, it's in the word sin. It's only by grace that we come to see our sin that way, come to see ourselves that way as the chief of sinners. You can listen to us. You can listen to us as we visit. We talk about other people. We take care of that person and that church and that brother and that sister, and we talk about them. And we're always spelling the word sin, S-U-N. But then there's no gospel for us. There's no Savior for us if that's the way we live. The grace of God is to bring to us a self-awareness, a self-burden, my sin. And no one's sin could be greater than my sin. A saved sinner does not look at someone else and say, I could never do that. What gets into them? What are they thinking? A saved sinner says, I'm the chief sinner. There is no sin that I have not or could not commit. But Jesus is my righteousness. Christ Jesus came to save me, the chief of sinners. This is a faithful saying, says Paul. How do I know that Jesus came? We know this by faith. By faith we are given ears to hear the good tidings of great joy. By faith we join the angels today and we say, glory to God in the highest. I know that Jesus Christ has come. By faith, it is no myth. By grace, we lay hold of our Savior, and none who come to Him in a true and living faith will ever be cast away. He draws us personally unto Him, and we come and we follow Him. And then there will be a change in your life. There will be fruit. Don't be afraid, says the angel. Fear not, for unto you is born a Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. No more fear. No fear of death, no fear of tomorrow, no fear over job security. Fear not, for I am with thee, O be not dismayed. God has cast all of our sins behind His back. The Lord is our light and our salvation. Not only will there be no fear, but there will be joyful humility. We will be of all the most humble and the most joyful. And we will praise the Lord, not living in pride. But we will praise the Lord for His wondrous gift. The birth of Jesus proclaims God's utterly free and gracious salvation. It means you will end your life this way with these words. And unto the King, eternal, immortal, the only wise God, be glory and honor and power forevermore. You will join the millions of angels, and you will say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing forever. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for the birth of Thy Son, and we thank Thee that Thou hast taught us why Jesus came to save me, the chief of sinners. Amen.